As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was at a table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick does. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Los que están viendo necesitan un médico, pero los enfermos sí. Y aprende el significado de las palabras: deseo misericordia, no sacrificio. No he venido a llamar a los justos, sino a los pecadores. El sacramento que celebramos cada vez que nos reunimos para estas misas de sanación mensuales ha sido conocido por varios nombres a lo largo en la historia de la Iglesia. Hoy solemos llamar a unción de los enfermos, pero durante la mayor parte de la historia de la Iglesia se le conoce extrema unción, unción de extremo, la última unción. Por supuesto, la frase "el último" presupone al menos un primero unción y probablemente algo intermedio, unciones. Eso es porque todos estamos ungidos en el momento de nuestro bautismo y más tarde en la confirmación. Aquellos de nosotros que hemos sido ordenados como sacerdotes o obispos, fuimos ungidos cuando fuimos ordenados. Y la mayoría de nosotros en estos días estamos ungidos varias veces antes de último. Pero cada uno de nosotros tendrá una unción extrema, ya sea que nos demos cuenta en ese momento o no. Eso es porque los sacramentos son, ante todo, regalos que se dan, no recompensas que se ganan. En el ritual anterior, la persona sería ungida en cada uno de sus sentidos: ojos, oídos, boca, nariz, manos y pies. Y la oración sería un poco diferente de lo que tenemos ahora. Por esta santa unción y por su más tierna misericordia, que el Señor te perdone, el Señor te perdone todo el mal que has hecho a través del poder de ojos o boca o so on. Cuando se revisó el ritual, fue para resaltar la curación de la parte individual del cuerpo y para mostrar la curación que tiene lugar internamente, a través de la cabeza, o externamente, a través de las manos. Cuando un hombre se ordena a un sacerdote, las palmas de sus manos están ungidas. Esto marca esas manos para un servicio santidad, servicio especial. Cuando un cristiano recibe la unción de los enfermos, sus palmas también son ungidas, porque también están separadas para un cargo, una misión de la iglesia. Escuche de nuevo las palabras de la colecta de Santa Misa. Que estos y todos los enfermos sepan que han sido elegidos para ser santos y así se unan incluso ahora a Cristo en su sufrimiento por la salvación de todo el mundo. The sacrament that we celebrate whenever we gather for these first Friday Masses has had a variety of names throughout the history of the Church. Nowadays, we tend to call it anointing of the sick, or just plain old anointing. For most of the Church's history, it's been known as extreme unction. And that's because extreme, or last anointing, presupposed a first anointing, and presumably some others in between. The first anointing we all receive is at baptism. Immediately before we're baptized, we're rubbed with oil, the oil of the catechumens, and the sign there is that we're being rubbed down like athletes before a match, making ourselves slickery so the devil can't get a hold of us. Just after we're baptized, if we're infants or children, we're anointed on the crown of our head with the chrism, the sweet-smelling oil that's used later in confirmation, and that's meant to mark us out, to set us apart, like kings and prophets were ordained in the Old Testament. At confirmation, we're anointed on our heads again. And at this point, we receive a mission or an office in the life of the Church. In the old days, when the bishop would slap you, that was precisely what he was trying to indicate. It was to tell you, now you've got a job to do. Be ready, stand up, be strong. Those of us who are ordained as priests and as bishops are anointed also on the palms of our hands. And it's because the sacraments are administered unworthily through our hands. It's the reason so many retain the tradition of kissing the hand of the priest or the bishop. It's not because PJ is such a great guy. You all know him. He's not really. But it's because you get something from the priest that you don't get from anywhere else. And so you kiss the hand of the priest to thank God for the gift that's received by these hands. In the old days, when we anointed this way for the sick, we would anoint all the senses, and the prayer was slightly different than it is now. We would anoint the eyes and the ears and the mouth and the nose, the hands, like now, and also the feet. But the prayer was, by this holy anointing, may the Lord in his gracious mercy pardon you whatever faults you have committed through the use of the eyes or the ears or the mouth or the nose, the hands, or wherever you have gone. The accent was on the forgiveness of sins, because there's a recognition that illness and the falling apart of our bodies is ultimately the result of sin, not necessarily our sin individually. I do a bad thing and then God gets back at me by giving me a disease, but the sinfulness of the world, original sin, and its effects. Nowadays, we anoint typically only on the forehead and the hands, and the reason those two were chosen was to show that there's an interior healing that happens through the head, and then an exterior healing that happens through the hands. But it is telling that the sick are anointed on the palms of their hands, just like a priest. Because just as the priest offers by his hands the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist, so the sick offer by their hands and their whole bodies the sacrifice of their lives. They're anointed not simply for their own healing, but for the healing of the world. Which is why that collect, that first great prayer of the Mass, says, may they know that they have been chosen among those called blessed, chosen to be saints, and so are united even now to Christ in his suffering for the salvation of the world. The Lord says this night, those who are well have no need of a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Lord has no longer any need for bulls or goats. He has no need of a sacrifice from us because he has already provided it for us. What he needs instead are hearts made ready to be transformed by the sacrifice which he offers us. Heads and hands ready to receive the commission, the anointing he longs to give us this night, so that our suffering in body, in mind, and in soul would not be worthless, but would do the same as the suffering of Christ and save the world.